Joining us now in studio is Kathy Osterman, the Executive Director of the Northfield Historical Society. Kathy, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Now, you walked down from the Historical Society, didn't you?
I did. I enjoyed the snow.
As you were passing by, the snowflakes on your hair, and I thought, oh, okay. But nevertheless, it's spring. It will be in a couple hours anyway. You've had a lot of things going on. First of all, I want to catch up on something that you guys have been working on for a while, and that is that store remodel. And it's done now, but tell us about that process.
It was very eye-opening for me to find out exactly what it was like to kind of watch a project like that, a physical building project, mm-hmm. go on. It was really neat to see all of the old kind of go away.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch the walls come down a little bit, and some of the coverings and the floor. Watch the countertops leave and everything. And when it started to get refinished, then I had a little more hope for things.
Spending time in chaos, especially wintertime, you get kind of cabin fever to begin with, and then have a chaotic remodeling done at that time. Winter is really a good time to do that, but if there is a good time, but boy, that does take a while, and it does kind of wear on your spirits a little bit. But the good news is it's done now.
It is done, and so we do invite everybody to come check it out. We're going to be ordering some of our new spring products pretty soon. They're mm-hmm. not in the store yet, but we're going to be ordering them pretty soon, so definitely come check it out. I invite everybody to do that.
All right. You've got a lot of things coming up. I want to talk about, I guess we can do this kind of chronologically. You've got a couple exhibits. Are they open now or scheduled to open, the exhibits?
They are open.
Okay.
We have a marketing Malto Meal exhibit that just opened, and it's all about the advertisements that went into promoting Malto Meal over the years. And it's a really fascinating look at how a lot of the commercials were made and storyboards and things that you don't normally think of when you just think, oh, cereal. I mean, you don't think about how they had to advertise it, and it's really neat to look at.
I can't wait. I got to go down and see that. When did they start marketing the Malto Meal? Was that in the 30s or 40s? Do you know how far this goes back?
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's Stephanie Hess. She is really involved in the Malto Meal history.
Okay.
And in fact, she's going to be giving a presentation down at the Rice County Historical Society
mm-hmm.
on Malto Meal this Thursday evening. But she's really the one to know the dates and the how everything has gone together. This marketing Malto Meal exhibit is really her baby.
All right. I want to see that. Do you have, are there like television commercials? I recall as a kid, the whole Malto Meal Mobile thing.
There are a few.
Cool.
They bring back the memories.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, that's one of the exhibits. I've got to see that. What's the other one?
The other one is our continuation of our World War I exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new this year. It's called Stories and Sacrifice, and it is firsthand accounts of some of what the soldiers went through. So they would write their letters home, and we've got a lot of copies of letters. We've got newspaper accounts firsthand, and it's really it really tells the story through their eyes and what they experienced. So when they were experiencing trench warfare and wrote
mm-hmm.
about it and told their mothers not to be worried about it, you get to read that. It's powerful.
Yeah, you know, that was called the Great War mm-hmm. before World War II came along and separated the one and two. And yeah, I think for a lot of people the generation that went through World War II heard the stories of World War I. My generation heard the stories of World War II, really not so much from World War I. You know, I did have some relatives when I was young that were had gone through that, but boy, you know, that's been 100 years ago. So
right.
So they died off about 50 years ago, and I haven't heard those stories. So I'd like to catch up with that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to put together. A lot of times I think people that are behind the scenes and put the exhibits
mm-hmm.
together, they learn a heck of a lot more than the general public does, because they've got to sort through so many things and decide what they honestly can condense to put into an exhibit. So I know I learned a lot about it.
Yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of stuff that you just don't have time or space available to get every story in. Space is the big thing, mm-hmm. Yeah. What about spring break is coming up, and you'd mentioned before you went on the air that you have some events coming up during spring break.
We do. We've never really made a big deal of spring break mm-hmm. before. Never really tried to attract much of an audience. We kind of relied on whoever happened to kind of stumble in.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we thought we'd offer some guided tours in the afternoons, especially if you're local and you've never had that chance to take a tour. We're going to actually have one of our former Junior Posse members and one of our school tour guides that are going to be doing the guided tours from 1 until about 4:30 or so.
All right. And that's each day, Monday through Friday? Or
yes. Yep. Right. Next week.
And next week is spring break.
It is.
All right.
And then we also have a special World War I children's program on Stubby the War Dog.
Okay. Stubby the War Dog.
Stubby the War Dog.
What is that something that was a real thing back
Stubby
then?
Stubby was very much
okay.
a real dog.
This isn't something that was manufactured in Stephanie's head or anything.
No.
Okay.
Stubby was a real dog, and this program is kind of centered around the dog to kind of tell a World War I story through the dog. Because it's easier for younger kids to understand this whole concept of the
mm-hmm.
war if you have something you can relate to, which would be a dog. So I've got a storybook that I have on Stubby, so we're going to read that. We are going to try on a helmet. Got a gas mask that the kids can try on. And then they're going to get a chance to do some coloring. They can color the medals that Stubby was awarded after the war.
Oh, neat. All right. Sounds like a good program. And that's when is that?
That is Tuesday and Thursday from 10:30 to about noon.
Okay.
Ages 4 to 10.
Okay. Sounds good. You also have coming up a big event, one of your fundraisers throughout the year. It's Hops, Grapes, and History, and it's an event that I really like. Is that, I want to say, April 14th?
It is.
It is April 14th. Okay. Well, Terry's been on that committee, and she's talks to me every time we have a meeting, or if they have a meeting, so I hear a little bit about it. But tell us what's going on this year.
What isn't going on this year? We have fabulous vendors and fabulous sponsors and games and wine and beer, and it's going to be awesome. 7:30 to 9:30 on April 14th is mm-hmm. when we're holding it. It's going to be at the Grand. And this year, we've got some new vendors for us. 10,000 Drops, Asplund Winery, Four Daughters Winery, Loon Liquor, Keepsake Cidery, and Giesenbrau Beer. And I probably just butchered that name. Sorry.
Those are all, and Giesenbrau is one from New Prague, if
yes.
I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And 10,000 Drops is a Faribault. That's Jake Vistendahl's company. So I'm excited to taste some of that. You've got a pretty eclectic mix, something for everyone there.
We do. And we try to do that every year.
Mm-hmm.
We love our locals. We love Tanzenwald. We mm-hmm. love Imminent. We love Chapel. And we have had them for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And we are encouraging people to go to their establishments. Now that they're open,
sure.
We really, really want people to go local and drink local. And so we thought we'd bring in some of these other ones, encourage people to kind of taste them a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then later in the evening, our event ends at 9:30. Go ahead and go out to our local breweries
sure.
and continue having fun on a Saturday night.
sounds like a lot of fun. Once again, that's April the 14th. Do you need tickets in advance? Do you get them at the door? What's the deal with the tickets?
If you like deals, you should mm-hmm. probably get them beforehand.
Well, right everybody now. Loves a good deal.
They do, yeah. So right now, you can buy them $20 per person or $35 for a couple.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Eventbrite and find the event right on Eventbrite. Or you can walk yourself right into the museum, and we would be happy to take cash, check, and get you signed up. If you are waiting to see what other things come up in your life on the 14th and you just want to walk in that night, it will be $25 per person and $45 for a couple.
All right. All right. But it'd be a good opportunity to just walk right in there and check out the new store.
Absolutely.
And the new exhibits.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go.
Just one stop. You can get all of your history in one place.
All right. Anything else, Kathy?
No, actually, I will tell you, we have our mm-hmm. fabulous sponsors. I want to make sure that I plug them a little bit for Hops Grapes. And that's Aldrich Technology, DMW Financial, The Grand, Just Food, Northfield Lines, and Vistendahl, Morich, Dorsey, and Hahn.
Wonderful. All right. Looking forward to that. It's on my calendar. I'm going to have to get those tickets in advance because I like deals.
Good. Good.
Thanks for joining us, Kathy.
Thank you.
That is Kathy Osterman, once again, the Executive Director of the Northfield Historical Society.